That might have sounded a little exotic to you. That's Shelley Jacobs. And Shelley, I hope I got the pronunciation right, because it's a Greek title, Deftilave. Is that right?
You sure got it right.
It's 9 minutes past the hour on a Broken Road Radio Friday. We're joined by Shelley Jacobs. She's in Florida. That's her home. And Shelley is a singer and a music... Well, you're a speaker, an international speaker. You've been to Jerusalem. You've done some marvelous things. You've won lots of awards. You have a magnificent voice, by the way, I should tell you. And, but then you already know that. This album is called Echoes from the Catacombs. It was done in 1995. Shelley, tell us a little about us, about yourself and how you came to produce this album.
Well, I was raised in the Byzantine Catholic expression, and my mother was the choir director of the church and also secretary, so needless to say, I spent a lot of my time just sitting in the church and observing, you know, all the beautiful icons and experiencing what you call the bells and smells of the Eastern Church. You know, so much comes to us through the senses that I got at an early age, just a very, very beautiful awareness of the awesomeness of God, you know. And so when I was approached about doing a CD, I've been doing a lot of contemporary Christian music at various churches and around the world singing. The producers said, "What do you feel the most passionate about?" And I said, "Byzantine chant." And they fell off their chairs.
I'll bet.
You know, like, are you crazy? Because this was before the chant came out, you know. And so I basically said, well, I'd really love to do the Byzantine chant, because it's something that has been passed down through centuries in the church, through liturgical expression. And it's what really brought me to the awareness of Jesus and the expression of faith that just passed cognition. You know, it's a very exciting and vital expression of Christianity, and I really want it just to be the calling card of the Eastern Church.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that in just a second, but first, I think you have the station on. If you could disconnect from that, we're getting a kind of an echo effect from it.
Isn't that funny? Let me see if I can get rid of that.
Okay. So. What's up? Shelley's a busy lady, it sounds like. The office is going crazy there.
Isn't that funny? Hold on. Grand Central Station.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a singer, but boy, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to technology. I'm just impressed I got you on Skype.
Yeah, I think the background noise has stopped now. I think it's pretty well together. The Byzantine Church originated with the Eastern Roman Empire, didn't it? And it's really it comprised of the earliest Christians there were.
Yeah, I mean, the Byzantine Catholics, you know, traced the foundation of the 12 apostles, you know, and like the first mission of the New Testament church was to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, which was like Antioch, Jerusalem, you know, Roman province of Syria. So that's where, you know, we all know in Acts where the disciples were first called Christian. So, you know, as the church kind of grew and went from nation to nation and culture to culture, each culture, like, they received the gospel, and then in turn that kind of gave back and influenced much of the growth of the church, just presenting all their little different cultures. So, you know, it's quite
really a melting pot even back then, because Israel, as we know, God put it in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
It was the crossroads of the world then, from right in between the Occident and the Orient, the East and the West. And when the Romans came with their highway system and commerce, the economy that took place there, trade from all over the world passed right through Israel. So there were multiple influences there. And the Greeks had been dominant in that area for about 300 years by the time of the Second Temple. So I noticed that. Is Greek kind of the native language then of the Byzantine Church?
Well, I mean, as the heritage developed, like the West, as you said, had the center in Rome, like today that's Roman Catholic Church, and the East grew and developed around the Greek culture. Mm-hmm. And the Byzantine Catholics share in the inheritance of that Christian expression, you know. And really, as far as the Greek, many of the churches, like the Russian Church, the Slovenian Church, or the Polish Church, they all use their particular name, you know, languages in liturgy. It's just that as a child growing up at my church, our expression was in Arabic and also in Greek. And that's what you hear on Echoes, along with a little bit of English.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there a history of the, just out of curiosity, a history, any history or traces of the Syriac language in Byzantine history?
I'm sure there is in other churches, but I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, well, the church in Antioch grew to be that. And was part and parcel of that whole Eastern Empire for a long time. This music is wonderful. It has a very exotic sound. It's a very passionate sound. I'm thinking how I would love to play more of it, but it doesn't go with anything else in the world I can think of. This is serious music, major production. Tell us about the talent that
I started to go into having the guts to move forward with it. There was a marvelous producer by the name of Paul Salveson. Nashville. Nobody else would touch it because of that reason. Mm-hmm. And he has so much guts. We talk on the phone. We really clicked. And he said, well, you know, let's just try this and see how it unfolds. And the producer said, we're not really going to get you an arranger, which kind of freaked me out because I have, you know, limited knowledge. But I said, okay, let me just go with that and be obedient to that. And what we came up then with Echoes actually worked very well because you will hear sparse instrumentation. If it had been pure Byzantine, you wouldn't have heard any instruments. But one of my thoughts behind doing the CD was that I wanted to do an artistic approach to the ancient hymns, like your opening song that you played, Vefte Labatephos. The translation is, come, take light from the light that never fades. Come and glorify Christ who is risen from the dead. So this was like the praise and worship music of the early church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, wouldn't it be great just to add drums with Arabic flair to it, which is my culture? And if people can't dance to Jesus Christ raising from the dead, you know, forget it. What a reason to dance.
You know, there's another musical organization called the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble. They research ancient music from old cultures, in fact, long dead cultures. And they have an album called Ancient Echoes, strangely enough. They use the word echoes as well. And it's the music from the time of the Second Temple. And what they do is they research even down to the actual old music notation, the way they wrote music in those days. They reconstruct, build the ancient instruments so they get the sound as close as possible. They learn the language. In fact, in this case, in the album, they used Aramaic. And I listened to the music on that album, and it's marvelous. And it's almost a match to yours, except for the language. But they borrow also from Greek music and Greek poetry in the album. So the tie between Greece and Jerusalem and the time of the Second Temple is a very intimate tie-in. And I hear that in this music, and it is absolutely charming and wonderful and, well, inspiring is the word.
Oh, how nice. You know, when I first did it, the record distributor called me and said, what were you thinking? I can't do anything with this. And I was so disappointed. And the next day he called and said, Shelley, I give you my apologies because it's just not a CD. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just had to sit down and take it in. I know the best compliment I got was from my sister, Joni, who said, when I heard the CD, Shelley, I just wanted to go somewhere and be in a quiet place with God.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, praise the Lord. You know, we got it right.
Exactly. There's something in all of us, even us Western-minded Protestants, that responds to what's here. And in a minute or two, I want to play another song first, but I want to talk about a movement that I'm sensing in evangelical circles to get back to roots, to traditions. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's offered to us by Roman Catholicism and obviously now by Byzantine Catholicism as well. So let's talk about that. But first, introduce this song for us. This is... Is it Agios?
It's the Agios. Mm-hmm. Holy, holy, holy. In the Latin expression, it's called the Sanctus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's magnificent. I might add, as we're talking about this, that the choir that you hear, it was important for me not to have it sound sterile, mm-hmm. you know, more like I wanted to be more of a community, which is liturgy means community, you know, and I wanted to be able to. So I invited all my friends at that time, members of my family, to go and to do the tracks in Columbus, Ohio, where I was. Doug Edwards, a marvelous, marvelous engineer and friend and producer, said, just bring them all in, and we did. And then we took the tracks we did, believe it or not, took them to Nashville and put some other musicians over the top of that. So you have pretty much the communion of saints And we remember when we were doing the Agios, the song you're going to play,
mm-hmm.
one of the Protestant brothers in the recording studio in Nashville said, "Shelley, I just feel such a strong, dense presence." And I said, "Well, it's probably the communion of saints praising the Lord, because we believe that when we praise God, we go beyond time." You know, so here it's holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that's what you're hearing on the IPO.
That's beautiful. I don't even want to talk.
Oh,
it's clear that solemnity and joy go together, hand in hand. You hear something there, Shelley, that is almost entirely absent, I think, from contemporary worship music. David, did you get a chance to listen to that?
Yeah, I did. And you know, I was reflecting, and Shelley and I talked a little bit off the air just beforehand, before we started, about another artist that we both know, Lorena McKennitt. And I was going to ask you what the differences were or what the similarities were. And I think I know one of the big ones is that Loretta McKennitt's music seems to be spiritual but not Christian. Mm-hmm. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what's kind of interesting, I'd never heard of her until I did the CD, and then someone said to me, you got to hear this Loretta McKennitt. And when I heard her music, I just said, oh my goodness, I love it, you know, mm-hmm. That layered sound, that the beauty of it. It's interesting also because I, you know, although Byzantine music does not incorporate instruments, I opted for an artistic approach, and I used the Eastern influence of my Lebanese heritage. So that's a lot of the instrumentation that Loretta McKennitt uses also. Her arranger uses a lot of the instrumentation of the Middle East, you know. But, you know, it's kind of neat to compare that you go past cognition. Like, you don't know the words that you're hearing at this point, you know. But you know somewhere in your spirit that works.
Yes. And there were some familiar, you know, Hosanna, save us.
Hosanna in highest, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Byzantine Church in America now. It's something that few of us hear anything about ever, unless we go looking for the information and tag your it, Shelley. Tell us about it.
Well, I'm not really an expert on it, but I know that, you know, that in the United States there's approximately 195 Latin Catholics and approximately, you know, 195 dioceses.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Byzantine expression or the Eastern Catholics, there's like 15.
Wow.
Versus the 195. Mm-hmm. The beauty of that is that way back, maybe, I forget when it was, but maybe 30, 40 years ago, who was it? Maybe it was before that, John Paul, said it's time that we start learning to breathe with both lungs of the Catholic Church.
Amen.
And that really gave us a real elevation in the eyes of the Catholic Church as a whole. Even to this day, many people don't know we even exist.
Well, I know it had been.
Say, well, you must be Orthodox.
There was a huge split, the schism, and he helped heal that. He was the first modern pope. It had been hundreds of years since the two branches, the two lungs, as you say, the two wings of the church actually talked to each other. And
well, don't quote me on this, but somewhere along, I think, the 16th century, actually, the Byzantine Melkite Catholic Church or the Byzantine Catholics. They are the ones that decided to go back into communion with Rome after that large schism.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of are like, some people consider it a bridge. I mean, I consider we're more than the bridge mm-hmm. to the church because, you know, our expression really grew out of the ancient churches. So we're kind of preserving the culture and the flavor of early Christianity, which obviously from what people are starting to see and hear, they're like, this is fresh and new, you know, so it's. That, you know, something ancient is fresh and new is sort of a paradox, isn't it?
Well, but I think it's a natural outgrowth of some of the dissolution of the Protestant church here. I mean, we've got something like 44,000 denominations, Protestant denominations around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's inconceivable to me that the Lord intended that kind of division.
Amen.
Within his church.
Yes.
And so
right.
I think we need to expect and look for and help create and add momentum to a healing of that breach, of that division. And I think your music can be one of the tools we use because it has a universal appeal. It's almost like it's somewhere in our collective memory, a part
God
of us.
Bless you. How wonderful to hear that. That's wonderful. You know, and what could be better than that? You know, when you do something out of love, it resonates forever. In that regard, I've been able to cling to the hope that someday somebody might be able to hear this CD, even though it's way back from 95, because I know that it's done with a lot of love. Mm. And so, you know, anything done with love resonates forever. And so you've kind of hit on something as far as its universal sound or universal something. The other thing that you mentioned earlier before the song was tradition, and I really think that tradition has gotten a very bad name. I think that, you know, tradition or religion has gotten a bad name. I think a religious attitude falls short of what God has in mind for us and what Jesus had in mind. And but we shouldn't mix up that. Sometimes people say, oh, Shelley, you're from a dead church. You're from a Catholic church. And I just shake my head because there's no talking to that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just go home and pray for them, you know, because they have no idea how alive it really is.
Well, there are people
it's
that are
through it. It's alive. You know, man cannot judge what the work that the Lord's doing, you know.
And there are people that are simply unable to hear what you're saying. They can't relate. They don't absorb information like that. But I think there's enough of us around that we need to be flying the flag of tradition. And tradition is not a limit on your intellect. It's not a limit on your freedom. It actually furnishes freedom, and it is intellect as well as heart. So
yeah, exploring the depth of what you just say is an outward thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like you can say the words of the gospel, but you know, by adding other facets, you really begin to heighten the awareness of how rich and deep our spirituality really is. It's not just a pat scripture, it's living it. I remember I was on a radio show once, and God bless Henrietta, we're very good friends now, but she was really wanting me to come away from the church, and she wanted me to be saved. So that was the radio program.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, "Are you saved?" And I said, "You know, Henrietta, as Byzantine Catholic, we don't understand that. Are we saved? We understand, are you being conformed to the image of Christ? Because I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved." So you see, it gives it a much deeper dimension than I'm saved.
Well, you know, the Protestant world has gotten itself, at least elements, parts of the Protestant world have gotten into this Soterian thinking where Jesus came to save you from hell. And mm-hmm. once that's accomplished, it's over. You know, that's all you got to worry about. Let's get saved. But in truth, he came to furnish us a beginning to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's just the first small baby step. Then it's living life in him and in his kingdom. And it's so much greater than that. And your work is going to help remind people of that, I think. So how can people get a hold of the album?
Let's see. They can order it through eBay, just Shelley Jacobs with an IE, or Echoes from the Catacombs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can check out my website and get to me personally. My email is on my website, shelleyjacobs.com. Shelley with an IE again.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, I'll be able to get to them, and we'll send it out.
Yeah, we should mention that website, shelleyjacobs.com, and you can see some photos there, and you'll get a little bit of Shelley's background if you're not already acquainted with her. And do you know how we found out about you? A listener.
You mentioned a listener. I'm intrigued by that.
A listener said, you need to hear this lady sing. She's incredible. And so I did a search for you, found your website. I can't remember where I first heard the music, though. Could it have been Amazon? Are you available?
I don't know. Okay. It might have been. I'm not familiar with that. I mean, it's hilarious because people are selling stuff on eBay. I didn't even know I recorded, you know. But the Echoes from the Catacombs really is just being distributed now through my own company.
Mm-hmm.
And Treasures from the Wilderness is another CD, I think. I sent you and David that as well, Treasures
yes.
from the Wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually sing English also.
I was going to say, you speak English as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, the challenge of Echoes from the Catacombs has been, how do you put it out on the road?
Mm-hmm. You know, good
how
point.
How do you get the music there?
But you've done, it would be tremendously expensive to reproduce that in concert, though.
That's exactly right,
but,
which is, you know, why when I go out and I do concerts at this point, I'll do one or two of the Byzantine chant, but the other songs are off the Treasures from the Wilderness or mm-hmm. other, you know, well, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, contemporary
mm-hmm.
music.
I'll bet a video of a stage presentation of just a couple of those would go viral real fast.
Hey, your mouth to God's ears.
Echoes from the Catacombs is on Amazon. I'm not sure if you put it up there, but somebody.
No, said. I did not. So. It
okay.
should be.
It may link to your company. I'm not sure how they do that, but
somebody's selling it. It's available for $35. So,
well, oh. How do you like that? Not supposed to be, because I'll have to contact them because I own.
I think somebody's there. Bending the rules there. I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
listen,
Shelley, come to my site.
Yeah, go to shelleyjacobs.com and do it the right way. Shelley, we have another song from you. This from your other album. I just like to demonstrate to the whole world that you sing English very well as well. And this is a song from Shelley called How Could I Ask for More?
There's nothing like the warmth of a summer afternoon. Waking to the sunlight, being cradled by the moon. Catching fireflies at night. Building castles in the sand, kissing mama's face goodnight. No, holding daddy's hand. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? Running barefoot through the grass, a little hide and go seek. Being so in love that you can hardly eat. And dancing in the dark when there's no one else around. Being burned beneath the covers, watching snow fall to the ground. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? So many things I thought would bring me happiness. Some dreams that are realities this day. It's such an irony. The things that mean the most to me, they are the memories that we make along the way. So if there's anything I've learned from this journey that I'm on, simple truth will keep you going, simple love will keep you strong. 'Cause there are questions without answers, and flames that never die, and heartaches we go through, they're often blessings in disguise. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Lord. Yeah. How could I ask for
Spirit, now and always and forever and ever.